you, Sanyu, for reading that scripture as we look into what it means to be stewards this morning of our spiritual gifts. I got to grab my remote. I left it down on the seat here. I got a question I asked of the first service. I'm going to ask you too, and see what kind of answers I get, if you're willing to answer. And that is that how many of you have an odd gift or ability or skill or something that you can do that maybe would be a surprise to others, or something completely random that you think that might be of interest to someone here? What's your random skills? Anyone got a random skill they'd share? Everyone's like, I'm not telling everybody. Anyone? Nobody? Oh, first service, I got a few. Oh, Andrew's got one. Is that like upside? I can't quite see. Is it upside down? Yeah, he's doing something weird with his tongue. Anyway, yeah, that's random. Anyone else got stupid human tricks? We used to call them those kind of things. And I used to invite my youth group to come up and do something random to win a prize. I won't do that today. But we all have different abilities and skills and talents, natural talents, and yet there are these things called spiritual gifts that I want us to look into and think about this morning. The gifts that God gives us. We've been talking about Christian stewardship and what it means to hopefully hear God say one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And this idea of stewardship is really what it means to manage God's life, the life God's given us as stewards. He's trusted us and trusted us with our time, our talent, our treasure, with our whole lives, and asks us to do with it what he calls us to do. And Psalm 24:1 has been kind of our theme verse through this text and through the scripture or the series. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." In other words, everything belongs to God. Your life, my life, it's all God's. The world and all its people belong to him. And something happens that is wonderful when we recognize that God is the owner of it all. There's also a certain level of, I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like, oh, okay, it's not all up to me. God's got this. That my life in his hands is somewhat his responsibility. And yet we can't cop out and say, oh, he made me this way so I can just stay broken. No, I have to do my part to be part of his plan. But ultimately, it is God's gifts within us that we are stewards of, and those come in a variety of forms. And I want to talk to you just quickly about the difference between skills, experience, natural abilities, and spiritual gifts, because they blur together. They all are important. They all come from God, but they're a little bit different, and that this idea of spiritual gifts is something special and unique that we understand for those that follow Jesus. But everybody has skills and things that you have developed. The next slide kind of gives you sort of a picture, a Venn diagram of how these things somewhat interact in life. And, no image is perfect, but it gives you a little bit of sense. So the skills and experience are those things that you've learned or will learn to do well through practice and experience. And sometimes that was more of a natural ability you had, Andrew, the natural ability to turn your tongue upside down. Whatever use that is to God, I don't know. But as a youth pastor, that could come in handy. I don't know. So we're grateful for that. But so that's the natural talents are some things that maybe you're genetically predisposed to, or you have a natural talent for, something that you can, that comes easier to you than maybe to others. And some of us just, I've always had pretty good balance and coordination. I was always pretty good at kind of balance sports and board sports and skateboarding and snowboarding and all those kind of things. They just kind of came easy to me, where some people had to work harder at. I remember one of my friends in university. I studied music in university, and I remember in our theory classes, music theory, he'd be done his homework in 30 minutes, and it would take me like 10 hours. It just came naturally to him. He just understood it. Part of it was through skills and experience. Part of it was just a natural ear for music. So we have these various levels of skills and experience, sometimes natural gifts that we enhance by adding skills and experience to them. And then we have these God-given spiritual gifts. These are the things that God enables you to do well through the power of the Holy Spirit. They're given, if you paid attention in that scripture reading, they come from God and God alone. We can't even take credit for them. They are not our own work. They're not our own effort. You have those as the result of the Holy Spirit living within you. And he gives those to us to serve his kingdom purposes. Now, yes, these all do blur together. All of them, in one way, are given to you by God, right? He's given you the life you live that allows you to develop your skills and experience. He's given you the body you have and the genetics you have and all of that and the natural talents you have. They come from him. You know, we get those kind of at birth. Maybe we owe that to our parents a little bit too. But, you know, God gave them life and gives us life. And so he's the author of all these things. But especially those things that are our God-given gifts are directly from God for spiritual purposes, for his kingdom purposes here on earth. And, you know, if some of you have probably done a little bit of work on, I know several of you, we talked about the APES gifts, a series on that last year. Some of you took that test and learned a few of those. That's kind of the what I would call the five archetype gifts that kind of define through Jesus, and they're critical gifts. They're part of what our spiritual gifts can be, although the list is even larger than that. I think all of them fall within the category of those APES gifts, but ultimately, some of us have explored this and know a few of it. Does anybody have? I'm not going to ask for it. We're on live stream and they can't hear you. But some of us, put your hand up if you've done a spiritual gifts test of some sort of spiritual gift inventory in the past. Quite a few of you. Many of you have explored that in some way, shape, or form over your life. And that those things help us to start to see how has God created us for his service. Now, like any Venn diagram, there's that middle zone, right? There's that butter zone, if you will, that sweet spot where your spiritual gifts overlap with your skills and experience. I mean, your natural talents and abilities and all of those things come together, and you've just got this area that you are really well, well equipped to serve in. But the thing is, that doesn't happen overnight, right? That happens over time. Sometimes your spiritual gift is one you haven't even discovered yet, and you're yet to explore and experience, and maybe one you're terrified of and not even interested in. So I've done spiritual gifts tests with so many people, and often what I hear is, well, I didn't want to score high on that one. Interestingly enough, God doesn't care because he gave it to you anyway. He cares, but you know what I mean. He wants you to know that you're gifted in that. Whether you chose it, whether it would be what you would prefer or not, is not necessarily the point. The point is, what are we going to do with these gifts? What are we going to do with what God has given to us? And of course, when we add to our spiritual gifts, skills and experience, and we add in our natural talents and abilities, it can become just an incredible, powerful act of God for the world and for his kingdom. We're going to look at one verse today, 1 Peter 4:10. I'm going to read 10 and 11 and put it on the screen for you. But I love this passage because it sort of sums it all up. And there's much in the Bible about spiritual gifts. I'll talk to you in a few minutes about a book that I've written for you. Well, not a book, but a pamphlet on spiritual gifts that has extra information in there. I'm trying to keep my messages not to 3 hours. So, you know, that helps this. If I taught you everything in here, we would be weeks and weeks, but it's there for you to learn more. I hope that by the end of the message, you go, I want to learn how to operate and offer my gifts back to God. That will help you to do it. But in this scripture, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Right there in scripture. We are called by God to use our gifts to serve others as stewards of that gift. In other words, it says right in scripture, these gifts are not your own. They are God's gifts to you for the sake of the world around you. You are merely the steward of it. You don't, as we look back and remember into the parable of the three stewards, we don't have the option to just say, I'm not going to do anything with that. I mean, we can, but the problem is the comment to that person was, you wicked and lazy servant, not well done, my good and faithful servant. In verse 11, it says, if you speak, you should do as so as one who speaks the very words of God. If you serve, you should do so with the strength God provides so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. See, our spiritual gifts are all about elevating God in this world. And any spiritual gift is going to put God on that pedestal. It's going to, if you want to know if it's a spiritual gift, if it's not elevating God and not putting God in, you know, in prominence in your life and the lives of others, then I would question it. But in this scripture, we see just an important part of what it means to be following God in our spiritual gifts. So let's look at the first part of the phrase for a minute. It says in verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received. And the simple first part I want to share with us today is that every one of us receives a gift. Everyone has a gift for kingdom purposes. And you might say, well, yeah, duh, we get that. But I'm not talking about your skills and abilities. I'm talking about the God-given gift that you received by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have it, whether it's latent or you're expressing it, or whether you know it or not, you have a gift that God has given you for kingdom purposes. In 1 Corinthians, the scripture read for us says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. It's simple, but yet, you know, sometimes we forget that all of us, because of this, have a certain level of call on our lives. You were created, everyone's created, for kingdom purpose and purposes. Look at the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 10. It says, you know, it says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Our whole lives become an act of stewardship for God. We can elevate God in everything, even the mundane things like eating and drinking can be for kingdom purposes. In Mark 12, 30, the greatest commandment, Jesus said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a service. This idea of loving God with all of our strength, all of our will and our actions and the things that we do. And Ephesians 2:10, I think that's 5:10 actually, I think that's a typo, says you are God's workmanship. You know, we are created to be what God has created us to be in order to do good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. And in 1 Corinthians 7:23, it tells us that we were bought at a price. And what it costs, we celebrate later in communion, it costs the life of our Savior Jesus Christ. He paid that price so that we could experience these giftings, this Holy Spirit presence in our lives. And so we recognize this morning that our gifts are not our own. We are stewards of them, and that we don't get to choose necessarily to do whatever we want, but we were gifted with these things in order to serve the world for Jesus. So everyone, despite whether you know it or not, there is an expectation that you will steward the gifts you've been given by God. There's a responsibility we all carry. And just ignoring that responsibility or pretending it doesn't exist, I'm sorry to say, doesn't allow us the freedom to opt out. And so how do we do that? Well, the first thing is, if you don't know what your gift is, how are you going to use it? Remember, the passage says each of you should use whatever gift you have received, but you can't use the gift you don't know about. And so one of the first steps to exercising and stewarding our gifts is learning what they are. And so this is part of the reason that I've written this book, because to talk about stewarding your gifts but not equip you to know what your gifts are and explore that and take further steps of doing that wouldn't be very helpful. Just to, you know, inspire people to do something but not equip them to do it doesn't help. I want to help you actually in this journey, and it's a journey and it takes time. You don't need to have it all figured out tomorrow or this afternoon, but we start down this road of exploring, how did you create me, Jesus? What am I created to be and do? What combination of my skills and experience and my natural talents work best with the gifts you've given? And frankly, there's no better advice I can give you than to be in a close walk with Jesus to know how he's made you and gifted you. And it's important to me that I clarify this. And I had a great conversation with someone recently that just reminded me that sometimes, we preachers get focused on what you should do, right? It's hard not to talk about how we should respond to the scripture every week. We often talk about what we do, but it's important that we start from who we are and our being and who God is in our relationship with us, because your doing has to always flow out of your being. And being with Christ and being in a walk with God and being in love with Jesus is always going to produce better results than just trying to walk in some sort of obedience to something you haven't yet experienced. In other words, I would challenge you that before you even start taking spiritual gifts test, spend time with God and His Word. Get to know Jesus. That is going to help you understand how He has shaped you and formed you, because He is the gift giver, but He is also He exemplifies all the gifts in and of Himself. And so one of the best ways I can encourage you to learn about how God has gifted you is to just spend time in the Word and know Jesus intimately. Now, often God will use tools like spiritual gifts test and spiritual directors and mentors in your life, or pastors and leaders that will advise you and help you to get to see those things in yourself. The problem with tests is that they only really ask you to self-evaluate. One of the things in my study, I did research on this for my doctoral dissertation, and one of the things I found that is a flaw with spiritual gifts test is they're very self-focused. Our spiritual gifts are the opposite of that. They're actually very others-focused, but a lot of spiritual gifts tests require you to sit down and answer questions about you. And if you've noticed, humans have a tendency to lie to ourselves sometimes, you know, or exaggerate ourselves, or even deny. Sometimes, so there's different errors that can come from this. One is we might not, you know, remember earlier, we might not want that gift, so we tend to answer the... You can, if you know what you're doing in a spiritual gifts test, you can make it come out the way you want it to. Like, you really can, and that's the problem, right? If you're taking a test, give your gut instinct answer every time, and don't think about it too much, just answer, right? But beside the point, one of the best tips that I ever learned about spiritual gifts testing is invite others into the process. Invite others into the process with you. Actually, Steve Elliott, our national superintendent, calls this 360-degree testing. And he's like, you want people all around you to be part of the process. And one of the ways you can do that is actually to invite someone who knows you well to take the test on your behalf as if they were you. Because the tests are often written to answer about yourselves. But it's pretty neat to have someone write this, because they see you from a different perspective and point of view. So I guess what I'm saying is one of the challenges is to get out of the way sometimes and get ourselves out of the way and stop influencing how the gifts might and the testing might come out. Because if you draw near to Jesus, you'll discover it. But sometimes He will speak through others and through tests and through various ways. But we do need to know our gifts in order to learn how to exercise them and learn how to use them in the church. And so He goes on from this. He says, each of you should use whatever gifts you have. So we've got to know what they are, and we've got to be willing to serve in the kingdom. But we use them to serve others. I said this already, but our gifts are always outward focused. They're not gifts just to serve self. And God never gives us stuff that's just for us, really. It's always about the community. Because God is a community in and of Himself. I love the Trinitarian aspect of our God, because His existence is communal. He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is three in one. He is, in essence, a community. And so, of course, He has made us with the desire for community and connection, and we need one another. You know, the Bible calls us the body of Christ, and that each one of us is an important aspect and part of that body. And so the gifts that we have are always communal. They're always for outside of ourselves, and they come from God who is outside of ourselves. And again, reminder that parable of the three stewards reminds us that it is for the sake of others. We don't have the luxury of just being able to keep our gifts to ourselves. Look at how Romans describes the body of Christ. He says, just as your bodies, our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. So see right at the beginning that each of us has a part to play in the kingdom of God. We're all called to kingdom purposes. We're all part of the body of Christ. He says, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts, but of one body, and we all belong to each other. One of the important parts about a body, right, and everyone has probably experienced a time where part of your body didn't function the way it should, right? And even if you're young, you probably know what I'm talking about. When something's out of alignment or when something is broken or something's not working the way it should, it kind of messes up the whole thing, right? And sometimes more severely than others. You know, and we learn to cope with those things. And I think if you look at the church globally, we've learned to cope with you know, parts of the body being dysfunctional and parts of the body not doing their part. In fact, I don't want to go off on this too much of a tangent, but one of the greatest concerns that I have for the body of Christ is this idea that is out there that the work of ministry is the job of professionals. It's just not. It is not, you know, I have the luxury and the benefit because of your faithful giving and support to serve full-time in ministry and not to have to do other employment. That is a benefit that I have. It's also a burden that I carry, but it is something unusual to not have to do other things, but able to work full-time for the Lord. But most of us don't have that option, and yet every one of us is called to ministry, not just those that are called to vocational ministry. And I love that you clarify that when you talk about the call, because we all have a calling to be part of the body. Carry on in verse 6, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Notice we don't all have the same gifts. Again, you can make the test say whatever you want, but ultimately you have the gifts that you've been given, like it or not, and every one of us have different gifts so that together we form a whole. Imagine if we all had the same gifts. And if you're married, you know that it's probably best if your spouse has different abilities and gifts than you. I know that Amy and I have various differences that complement one another. And there's a lot of times where I've thought, man, I'm sure glad I didn't marry someone like me. That would have been really awkward. If there were two of me in a relationship, oof, that would be bad. And same with her, right? Like there's different, probably less bad in her case, but anyway. But he goes on to say, we've been given different gifts. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. We all have gifts to give. And yet, one thing you'll notice in Scripture, again, and I go into this a little bit in the booklet, is that the lists are different in a few different places. There's not one complete list of all the gifts. Yet, you'll notice there's a few things that aren't on the list. There's no gift of arguing. There's no gift of complaining. There's no gift of grumbling. There's no gift of, you know, of telling the pastor everything he's doing wrong. No, I'm just kidding. Let's not confuse the negative things in life. I am kidding. You guys are great, and I get helpful feedback, and I really welcome helpful feedback. Occasionally, I get feedback that's not so helpful, but most of the time, it's very good. Anyway, spiritual gifts are always going to build up others. They always serve. They always love. Even confrontational ones that are necessary at times, we speak with the love of God. And he goes on to say in verse 10, the last part of the phrase, use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Again, it identifies that there's many different forms of faith and many different ways that people, that we serve and many different gifts that we have. But I love that phrase that we are faithful stewards of God's grace. What an honor we have to be stewards of God's grace. When I read that, I realize God has given me and you the opportunity to represent him to this world and to show the world the grace of God. What a blessing that is. And that means that our gifts allow us to be dispensers of God's grace and vessels for his presence in the world. God, in his wisdom, it seems foolish to some of us that he's chosen people to represent him. Even when we sometimes mess it up, he still says this is the best way. And he calls us to see that role as an honor, but also there's a burden to this. I get that. I also share the burden of being a representative of Christ. It's a burden I gladly carry, but it is also one I carry somberly at times. Because every one of us is a minister of the gospel. Every one of us has a ministry to do. In fact, Ephesians 4, when it talks about the spiritual gifts in that chapter, it talks about how they are given for all of us to serve one another. The Bible doesn't really ever give us permission to just be spectators and to not be involved in what God is doing. We're always called to participate and be part of it. Your spiritual gifts are given to you by the grace of God to enable you to do what God has prepared in advance for you to do. I'm going to invite the team to come back up and we're going to sing in a moment. We're going to take communion in a moment, but Ephesians says we are God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That means God knows how your life is meant to go. God knows how he has shaped you. He knows the skills that you have, the natural abilities you have. He knows the gifts he's given you, and he has a plan for you. He has work for you to do in the kingdom of God. And all I would say is this morning is to embrace that, because great joy comes from giving God our lives, and great experiences will come from that. Don't be like Jonah and run from the call of God on your life, because there is great joy to be had in that. And God will work all things out for the good of those who serve him. I just feel prompted to say this as we close. I want to remind you, some might be sitting here, you might be sitting here saying, you know what? I sensed God calling me into my giftedness many, many years ago, and I wasn't obedient. That's okay. That's what grace is all about. His forgiveness is eternal. Just take right steps now. Just be faithful steward now. You can't go back. You don't need to go back. Whatever God is calling you to, in any way, just say yes. And so you become, and we all are, stewards of God's gifts, his talents, his abilities that he's given to us for his kingdom purposes. The question this morning is, how will we use those to serve and dispense the grace of God in our world? This is what it means to be the body of Christ. And so we're going to sing a verse and chorus of this song, and then we're going to take communion together. And I want our communion today to be a reminder of the gift that God gave us, the greatest gift of all. And through his Spirit, we receive the gifts that he wants to use so that others will recognize this beautiful gift and be welcome to come to the table and receive Jesus. Let's sing. Would you stand?